Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
If it's fall in the South and it's Saturday, it means one thing: college football.
But don't forget, man, we're going to get them on a run. We're going to go, 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 go.
It's time for Saturday Football in the South.
Not for the devil.
Not for these guys.
Chris Goforth, John Chuckery, and Randy McMichael.
Take you around the SEC, ACC, and all over the college football landscape.
Oh, look at the sugar falling out of the sky. Look at the sugar falling out of the sky.
Are you ready for some real college football talk?
I've been ready for this my whole life.
Then let's kick this off. It's college football game time on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And we welcome you into the final edition of this season of College Football Game Time, live in the Kia Studios this morning, taking it till 12 o'clock. College Football Game Time, Randy McMichael, John Chuckery here with you today on a cool Saturday morning as season is officially wrapped up in the books. We had the national championship game the other night, and, it's over until we get toward spring football. Don't forget, you can follow us on social media. The station's at 929 The Game. The show is at 929 CFB Game Time. He is at Randy Mac 81. I am at JMCH 316. And Randy McMichael, the Cinderella story, if you will, the unbelievable story of LSU, who, you know, really and truly for so many years kind of underachieved as a program with the massive amount of talent that they had and never could really find that quarterback. They take it to Clemson, and LSU is your new national champion.
Yeah, I mean, congratulations to Ed Orgeron and LSU. They were able to, you know, keep that train rolling all year long without any hiccups. I mean, they were the most dominant team all season long, and that's the way you cap it off, man. I mean, I know when you look at the first quarter, you were like, uh-oh. You know, Clemson, you know, athlete for athlete and all those things.
Boy, Brent Venables,
he called a heck of a game. Yeah. And then, you know what, the LSU never looked flapped or flushed or anything. They just went and did their adjustments, and then it just showed why they were the best team in the country all year long. So, I mean, I was not surprised that LSU won that football game. I was not surprised that Clemson was able to give them a problem. I'm surprised by the way Trevor Lawrence played.
Yeah.
I think that was my biggest takeaway, is the way Trevor played. And when you look at when you have these big-time games like this, your big-time players have to play their best games, and he didn't play his best game, but I'm telling you, and like I said, this is our last show this season, but I can't wait to get into everything that's going to happen next season, because with Travis Etienne coming back and a pissed off Clemson team that's already loaded, that was already the preseason number one and preseason pick for the national championship, how bad do they steamroll people next year?
We were talking last night, Randy, on my show that if Etienne basically just does the same thing that he's done the last 2 years, which is run for over 1,500 yards, he's going to end up in the top 10 all time in rushing yards in college history. So, you know, he's you talk about when a guy like that decides to come back, what a difference.
Yep.
I mean, it wasn't like Clemson was a bunch of, you know, ham and eggers to start with. You know, I mean, with what they had coming back, but to now throw him back into the mix.
It's big time.
I mean, are they? It's got to be. That's two of the top three Heisman. I mean, I saw the odds this week for Heisman.
Okay.
You know, it was Fields and Trevor. Trevor's one, Fields is two.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say Trevor is 4-2, Fields is 7-1. It's got to be Etienne, Fields, and Trevor as the top three Heisman candidates, right?
Hubbard.
Chuba Hubbard, yeah. And we talked about that last week about whether or not he would come back.
Yeah, I think those will probably be your top four guys, probably.
The only thing is that, with all due respect, he's playing for Clemson and going to be the national spotlight.
I agree. But, yeah, it's going to be good for him, man. I mean, I've always said, you know, when the iron's hot. Well, the iron was hot for him, but, you know, I guess, you know, when you get that draft grade back, I mean, we've done a lot of shows, and you know how I am about these kids going pro and everything and staying. I mean, it's ultimately your decision. And, you know, if he wants to put some more, you know, wear and tear on his body and carry the ball for free, Hey, good for him.
Yeah, Kiper had him as the number four running back coming out of the draft. You know, DeAndre Swift is looked at as the number one running back coming into the draft. Now, you know, the big story, I think, really, because this is going to have a big look into next year for LSU, is the purge of the coaching staff.
Yeah.
And obviously Joe Brady takes the OC job with the Carolina Panthers, and I'm not surprised by that. We've talked a lot about
hottest name in football.
Exactly. And somebody said, well, why would he go? Because you have to capitalize when you're hot. I mean, I don't know how it's going to work out, Randy. Well, he's never called play. Man, when you're red hot, Randy, you got to capitalize, man. You have to do that. So, but Dave Aranda is going to Baylor, and he's going to take that job. So, you know, I talked to Mark Schlabach the other night, and, you know, my question was, okay, now that you've had these big changes for a staff that Ed Orgeron was willing to be hands-off, is he going to be willing to be hands-off again?
That's the thing about it right there, because that was one of the keys, I think, in my opinion, to the season, was the fact that he stayed hands-off. He let his coaches coach, which you're supposed to do as a CEO-type guy. That's what Dabble does.
Right.
And so now that you've lost your de facto OC, I mean, even though Enzinger, or however you say his name, he was he's the OC technically. He was calling the plays. But then you lose Aranda. That's a big loss, man.
Yeah,
that's big loss. And who's going to replace him? Now, we talk about who's going to replace Joe Brady. They're talking about George Munoz was his right-hand man. He's the guy that learned and everything. So he's probably going to take Joe Brady's spot as far as what was his responsibilities. But to lose all those guys that they lost, and a lot of them were no surprises. I mean, I was surprised Moss left, you know, because I think some people have him ranked as number 7, 8, 9, 10. So that's I'm talking about tight end. So that's fourth, fifth round or something. Right. I guess it's a surprise that he left. Surprise his father let him leave. But you lose Edwards Hilaire. They got three other five-star running backs.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You lose Jefferson, you got Chase. I mean.
they're still one of those programs that every year, Randy, they're losing top-flight guys. I mean, you know, they lose two first-round corners to the NFL, and they just go right back and replace those guys.
Yeah.
I mean, every year that they've got you know, corners and safeties in place to do it. So, obviously LSU with the declarations, T. Higgins of Clemens. You know, right now T. Higgins is the owner underclassman that has declared for the draft off that Clemson team.
Well, look, Isaiah Simmons, he declared before the season.
Well, we knew he was leaving.
Yeah. But other than that, I mean, that's what I'm saying. That's that special thing that Dabble has up there, right? These kids don't want to go. I mean, you look at it, what happened when all those the D-lineman, Dexter Lawrence, and all of them came back, you know, when they were eligible to go draft. They just want to play there. And when they
– Well, there's some kind of culture about Clemson now that it is hard to leave. And people are like, well, you know, draft stock. I get it. But, man, there's a lot of special stuff going around that Clemson.
It is. And I tell people all the time, college is special, man. It is.
Yeah.
And not everybody's in a rush to leave. And, you know, it's just something about your teammates. I tell people all the time. I mean, I love, you know, played a long time in the NFL, a lot of teammates. Probably got four or five guys that I constantly talk to all the time. But my guys from Georgia, I love those. Those are my, you know, those are my blood brothers.
Right.
And that's how they feel like up there at Clemson. And it's something that Dabble does. And I think that's why you don't see as many coaches leave. I mean, it's just something there. It's something about that culture that Dabble has created.
That these guys. Assistant
that too, that too. But I mean, still, I mean, you can be a head coach and make more than being an assistant, can you?
Oh yeah,
yeah. You know what I'm saying? But I just look at it as.
But you know, how have we really heard many jobs for Brent Venables over the years? Like his name doesn't really get bandied about.
I think it came up a few years ago, but now it's to the fact that they know that he probably won't leave. So why even waste the gas on
that
the plane?
That was kind of the way with Kirby, was that, you know, like there was, it always felt like there was only one job that Kirby was going to take.
But everybody knew that.
Right.
Everybody knew that the only way that Kirby would have
left. Is there a dream job for Brent Venables?
I don't know. That's the thing about it. Where's he from? I mean, that's my thing. And it's crazy because even if Mark Richt would have kept his job, Kirby would still be the DC at Alabama.
Right.
He was only leaving for that Georgia job.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Venables, he that game plan, I mean, he had Isaiah Simmons all over the place. And so for him to be able to do that like that.
Went to Kansas State.
So is that his dream job?
Yeah.
You know, Snyder, is he dead yet?
He's not dead, but he's rolling around in his grave.
Oh, okay. Just, you know, because he's been there for like 140 years.
Yeah.
Since inception.
College football game time from the Key Studios. Randy McMichael, John Chuckery. Give me, I know he's got some headline stuff like that, but I wanted to ask you a question. Give me kind of your kind of overview of how this season played out, kind of memories or just as you look back on this season, what kind of stands out to you?
I look at the evolution of – we knew that it was going to be a big deal, but I didn't know it was going to be this big of the transfer portal.
Mm-hmm.
And now these transfer portal quarterbacks. And now if you're a head coach and you lose one of these quarterbacks, but yet you have surrounding talent that if you need just put a quarterback in there, a talented quarterback that you can contend again – how does that affect on recruiting in, as far as these big-time quarterbacks? Because you promise these kids, and all these kids expect to play as a freshman.
Right.
So that and that, we were talking about this, down there in Oklahoma. You know, Spencer Rattler, you know, I'm sure he's assuming that he's going to be the starting quarterback at Oklahoma next year. I know that Derek King and those guys are out there. Does Lincoln Riley go for another grad transfer quarterback? And because if he does, this young man, these kids are leaving. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They're not going to sit around and wait because you sat there and promised them that they were going to be the starting quarterback eventually.
Right.
And for you to bring somebody else in front of them, they're gone. And I think that's going to be that part right there. And, of course, you know, another old school, old-minded coach evolving. And I'm talking about Ed Orgeron as far as his coaching style and getting up to date and what college football is now. Nick Saban had to do it because it was hard for him to stop it. Then he got Tua. Because it was always Nick Saban who could get that one big-time receiver. Then he would get some complimentary type guy. He went and got four studs.
Yeah.
And then he got a guy, as you say, could huck it all over the yard. That's what Kirby's trying to do now. And that's the, you know, the evolution of how this game is going now. It's no longer that ground and pound and all those things. You leave that for the service academies. But nowadays, you got to be able to spread the ball out, and you got to have a dynamic playmaker at the quarterback position.
Yeah, my thing is that there's some conferences that also have to figure it out because you look at the landscape of college football. Clemson's not going away. Bama's not going away. I mean, Oklahoma's not going away. There are some real – Ohio State's not going away. There are some – and not that we expect them to be down, but there are some real stalwart programs that it's really making it difficult for other programs to break through. Now, look. LSU's been one of the best programs in the country.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like LSU's been some kind of
ham and egg
lower tier. Yeah, ham and egg or lower tier. You know, I mean, you know, they haven't been fish heads and rice. You
right.
know, I mean, they've been a national power. But, you know, you look around the landscape. Where's Texas? You know, why can't Notre Dame be in that? I mean, I know they were in the playoff, but I'm talking about winning a national title.
USC?
I mean, you know, there's a lot of programs that are really just – don't look like they're going to break through against – how are you going to break through against Clemson and Ohio State next year?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, you look at all that talent and all of them coming back. And they're coming back because they have to.
Yeah. Alabama had several – Najee Harris coming back.
Yep.
Dylan Moses coming back.
Yeah.
Their top offensive lineman coming back.
Yeah. All of them.
I mean, they got a lot coming back too. And they got a quarterback that got a chance to play a lot
last year.
Whew. All right. Take a look at a few things in a college football. What first-year coach had the best season? Which one had the worst? Talk some coaches next year. It's college football game time from the Kia Studios this morning. Randy McMichael, John Chuckery, final show for the season. Sports Radio, 920 The Game. Sports Radio, 920 The Game. Welcome back into the Kia Studios on a Saturday morning. College football game time. Final show of the season. Randy McMichael, John Chuckery, as we kind of look back, look ahead, and get ready for, you know, as one great season closes out, we start to talk about and get ready for next season. So, Randy, you know, lots of coaching changes this past season. Give me your thoughts when we talk about coaches. Who are some of the guys you think that did the best job as first-year head coaches in the world of college football?
My number one guy, I thought Scott Satterfield up in Louisville did a great job. Coming over from App, I don't think a lot of people knew what to expect from him as far as, you know, him moving up to the ACC or whatever. And for him to play the way he played, 8-5, I think they were 8-5,
and
5-3 in the conference. I thought that, you know, when you got Mikal Cunningham, he kind of brought him along, you know, brought him along real slow. And he's coming back. I think he's going to be a lot better next year. And, you know, we were trying to find who was going to be that. We're still trying to find who can be that second team in that conference.
Right.
I think a lot of people are really jumping on the Mack Brown and North Carolina train because of, you know, the quarterback position and everything. He got some good recruits coming in. But look out for Louisville and Satterfield as far as next season getting better, because you got a quarterback and you're not losing a whole lot of guys. as far as any skill position players. I mean, outside of Seth Dawkins, but they should be fine.
You know, it's funny because I had Satterfield as well as my top guy. And I think part of it too, Randy, is as he first got there and the story started to trickle out about how bad things were at Louisville, I think that added to it because you look at it was a bare cupboard, a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that was going on, and obviously Bobby Petrino, you know, do you see where he's going to be the Missouri State?
But how about the Missouri State thing? But the funniest thing to me was that, and it could be just a rumor, they said it was between him and Art Briles.
Yes, yeah. Art Briles, from what I read, too, was that Art Briles was right on the heels of him.
Yeah, so that was kind of funny.
Well, I mean, it's an FCS program.
Yes, and this is not twisted. They're both dirtbags, but they're two hell of a football
coaches. Those guys at that level can make a difference in your program. I mean, they absolutely can. I'm with you on Mack Brown. I'm curious, how do we rate Ryan Day?
I didn't screw it up. I thought about it, and I think that was my biggest thing is that he didn't screw it up. And he was one of my guys also because technically he was the head coach. You know, he subbed in for Urban the year before last. Yeah, he subbed in. Mm-hmm. And so and to me it seemed like he was the no-brainer choice to replace Urban. And like you said, he didn't screw it up. Here's the keys to the Ferrari. Just keep it in the center lane. And he did a good job of that. Ohio State really was never pushed this year until, you know, the whole Clemson thing. They looked dominant. And for him to – and it wasn't hard for – I like watching Justin Fields do what he did not surprise me. He was one of the top players coming out of high school.
Yeah, I mean, it's him and Trevor Lawrence, the two top quarterbacks. Well, but let me ask you a question, though. How much – do we have to give credit to Ryan Day to, you know, for say what you will about Ryan Day? You think about the past 2 years for Ohio State.
Oh, offensively?
Yeah. I mean, well, let's go 3 years. When you talk about JT Barrett to Dwayne Haskins to Justin Fields, about how you have to change your offensive philosophy
to
fit those guys. That, to me, I think is the genius about what they do is their offensive system always played to the strength of what their quarterback did.
Yes.
Even if that honestly, even if that meant like not this passing the year before with Haskins, that J.K. Dobbins wasn't the same player.
Yeah,
they played to the strength of their quarterback.
Mm-hmm. And he threw 50 touchdowns
and got what was he a top 15?
Yeah, he's number 15. I think he was number 15 overall.
14 or 15? Yeah,
yeah. So I mean, of course I think you have to put Ryan Day in that conversation. But I mean, and then look what coming back for Ryan Day. He's going to be right in the hunt, right in the mix again.
Yeah. Oh, no question about it. I mean, I can't imagine that they're below two, right? I mean,
oh, they're going to be two.
Yeah, they have to be.
They'll be two.
I mean, with Fields and everybody, I mean, they got to be number two. So when we look at the landscape, some of the guys who did the worst job, and it's funny because I know you're going to say the same guy I did.
Oh, we probably got the same too. Manny Diaz.
Yeah.
That was awful.
Yeah.
And it started from the first game.
Yeah.
And they gave up 20-something sacks.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It was
you're right. They didn't recover from that game.
No.
They literally didn't recover from that game.
I mean, that was so ugly. And yet they – and I said this about a month ago when we were talking about Miami after they lost in their bowl game. They want to get this persona of the U so bad.
They
want to have that
persona. Yes.
You got to understand, them were some dogs. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Them were some dogs. All right.
But
it wasn't even about the coaching, Jake.
No, but it was a different time in a different way. I mean, say what you will, but those kids – some of those kids now, they go to Florida Atlantic and Central Florida and things like that from the standpoint of they don't just get to pull every kid that they want anymore.
Right.
There is competition in that state to get those kids now.
Yeah, but the thing with them is that, like again, they're trying to hang on to something. And Manny Diaz tried to come in with all this swagger. They own boats and yachts and everything. And you're worried about all that instead of developing your team.
Right.
Nobody gives a damn about no turnover chain, man. All right? You're losing by three touchdowns and yet the turnover chain and these damn rings come out. Are you serious? Are you serious? Man, miss me with that, dog. They got a long way to go. Now, we know that Derek King's down there this weekend, I think, visiting and everything. Yeah. I mean, you were talking off air. Why the hell would Derek King go to Miami?
Yeah.
Does it look like they'll get better?
Right. I mean, my thing is, if you've only got 1 year to play in college football, like, why would you go to Miami right now?
Yeah.
If you've only got 1 year left before you're headed off, why would you go to Miami? Why would you not go to LSU or somewhere like that right now?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about it. And who's the damn quarterback? I mean, they don't know. They went through all these quarterbacks, and still we don't know who the quarterback is.
No.
I mean, I know they're playing a lot of young guys, especially up front on that offensive line, you know, and I commend them for that. But after that Florida game, unless you ain't got nobody else, Them dudes should have been playing them more.
But they weren't even the defensive team that we thought that they would be with all those guys.
Dude, we've been talking about them for 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, those linebackers have been there for a decade. Yeah. That's why nobody else is playing, because they've been there for 10 years, it seems like. So I agree with you. I thought he was number one. It's funny, because you could make a case the ACC had the two maybe most successful first-year head coaches and the worst first-year head coach, all within the ACC.
Yeah.
Because Scott Satterfield, Mack Brown, you could make a case that how well they did, and then Manny Diaz for how bad he did. I also had on my list of worst as well Dana Holgorsen.
Yes, I had him too.
I thought Dana Holgorsen. I mean, that. And the funny thing is, Derek King played. It wasn't like he sat out the whole year.
But he played those four games, and he decided to get gone.
Yeah.
And
well,
the thing,
you don't think he didn't look at that team and say,
And I look at it is,
why burn this year?
It's the funny thing is that they actually tried to sell us that Derek King was just sitting out and he was going to come back to that program, which nobody believed. And Dana, he takes a step down in conference. You know, he leaves West Virginia and goes down there to Houston, and you're expecting something that wasn't there. Now, can he get guys in there? Because – I mean, like him or not, Tom Herman was able to get those kids to go to Houston. He was able to get Ed Oliver to go to Houston and all those things. Can Dana try to find a way to figure out? Because that Houston is a hotbed for talent.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, it's a hotbed for talent.
I got news for you. I mean, it hasn't mattered if it's Kevin Sumlin or Art Briles or Tom Herman. They always got kids to come to that program. I mean, you always had top flight kids that came to that program that could play, and they would put systems in place. I mean, that would you know, fit the skill set of those guys. But I always thought, you know, I always joke, I don't know how Dana Holgorsen stayed around as long as he did at West Virginia as it was.
Well, Will Greer. Will Greer.
Well, yeah, he saved Dana Holgorsen, but Dana Holgorsen should have been fired 2 years before that.
Where did Dana come from?
He was the assistant member at West Virginia.
That's
for
what it was.
Who was the guy that was there with Pat White and the guys in the Sugar Bowl? Yeah,
Rich Rock.
Yeah, so he was an assistant on those staffs that basically got promoted to it, and I just never bought into Dana Holgorsen as a very good head coach. Like I said, you could have made a case that, you know, even a couple of years that he should have been fired out there. So. Who? Give me your thoughts about who you're most excited to kind of watch as new head coaches coming up this year.
I'll be honest with you. I want to see what Jimmy Lake does up there in Washington. You know, because Coach Peterson, he left, and I think some people still think it was unexpected when he decided to step down from Washington. Jimmy Lake, he's a respected guy. It looks like he's going to change a different of the mindset. They're going to be a little bit more physical football team. Not saying they weren't under Coach Peterson, but I'm interested to see what he does up there. You know, you're already losing J.K. Beeson, but you got a couple of four or five-star kids that were backing up Jacob Beeson, waiting for their turn. Russian always has defenders. They always got DBs and corners.
And offensive linemen.
You know how much we love Buda Baker when he came out and everything. So they got guys like that. So I want to see what he does up there. The Pac-12, I mean, you said it, you know, USC needs to be good for the Pac-12 to be relevant. No matter who comes out of it, because I think Oregon's going to be loaded next year.
Yeah.
Until that program gets themselves right, it really don't matter about the Pac-12.
Yeah, you know, Oregon is, again, going to have one of the best offensive lines at football. They got the best tackle in football that's coming back. I think, you know, by and large, Randy, the state of Washington, you think about how good Washington and Washington State have been over the last few years. You know, I mean, they've made the Apple Cup fun because you've had two really good programs. And
still can't beat Washington, though.
Yeah, I mean, oh, yeah, I agree, yeah. I mean, but both of those programs, you know, in that state are very interesting to look at. I mean, obviously, I'm very curious to see what Mike Leach does at Mississippi State, what he does to take their personnel and how he tries to play. Because nobody's going to change Mike Leach.
No.
So nobody's going to change him, you know. So how he goes about doing it and what kind of talent. I mean, let me ask you a question. What school do you think it's easier to get kids to come and play for you, you know, of where you're pulling from, Mississippi State or Washington State?
Probably Mississippi State.
Yeah.
Because it's still in the conference.
Right. Yeah. And so you're going to recruit SEC-level kids. You would think that he'll find a way to pull in a couple of kids here and there because it's the SEC and the SEC West to come run that system and
put up numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got you. Well, I had that down. Who would be the worst? I said both Mississippi schools. Exactly what I said.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think they're going to have a rough time. Now, Lane got him a quarterback, but I think they're going to have a rough time. I think both programs are going
to
be rough.
Oh, I agree. They're not ready to turn it around anytime very quickly out there. All right, let's talk about the confidence level of the three main local programs in town as we head into next year. And we'll hear a couple of thoughts from some guys about about Jamie Newman and about what Georgia's going to look like now offensively as there's been some changes to the coaching staff. Talk about all of that next. John Chuckery, Randy McMichael. It's College Football Game Time here with you on a Saturday morning. Final show of the season, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Kia Studios. College Football Game Time here with you on a Saturday morning. Final show of the season. Randy McMichael, John Chuckery here, taking you up till 12 o'clock today. Well, as the season wraps up here, we start to look ahead toward next season. And what was kind of a mixed bag, I think, for the local teams, when you look back, I think we all think that just Georgia's season was disappointing. Nice finish, obviously, Randy, with the Sugar Bowl win. But again, 12-2 is nice, but this was a team expected to be in the playoffs. And if you'd handled your business against South Carolina, they would have played on the 28th.
Correct.
Yeah. Georgia Tech, obviously, in rebuild mode after bringing on Jeff Collins. I don't know if they were better or worse than expected. They kind of were what they were.
Right.
They got better as the season went along. I'll give them credit, for that. Some of the teams that they played down the stretch, they played much better against. And listen, a good win against Miami, move along in the ACC. So, good recruiting class that's coming in. Georgia State certainly overachieved, I think.
Lost the quarterback, though.
Yeah. I mean, they lost their quarterback.
Like,
so,
what did you say last week? That defense, it's got to be fixed.
They got to fix it.
It's got to be fixed.
Yeah, I mean, they gave up way too many big plays, and that's been their bugaboo. So let's talk about a little bit about the teams and kind of the confidence level with them going into spring football. So when you look at Georgia, obviously, and we'll hear a clip from a couple of guys coming up here in just a minute, Randy. But obviously, now some changes on the offense. Obviously, new OC for the Georgia Bulldogs, and then of course, a new quarterback that's coming in as well. Give me kind of your confidence level, about Georgia and what you're looking at them as they head toward the spring game.
Well, I think we're going to be fine because of this is Kirby's talent. This is his talent now. These are his guys. You know what I'm saying? These are all Kirby's guys.
Right.
And so when you look at it right there, I said it last week, JC, why the hell did we have number one recruit class all those years? Right?
Right.
We're supposed to reload. Now, you do lose your 3-year starting quarterback. Yes, you do. But, I mean, I don't know if Jamie Newman is the answer. I don't know. I mean, there's still other guys on this roster. DeJuan Mathis. We haven't seen him. We don't know what he's capable of. Stetson Bennett still here. Carson, the Beck kid down from Florida is coming up.
So, Jacksonville.
Jacksonville. So, I mean, that's another place where they got some good talent, too.
Yeah.
Jacksonville. But when you look at the Moken, the move to him, make him the OC, I think people are believing that because he was at Oklahoma State or whatever, that we're going to be looking like Oklahoma State and throwing the ball over the yard. That just ain't happening.
Who coaches Georgia?
Thank you.
Okay.
Now, it's going to be some more concepts that are going to be spread out a little bit.
And they have a guy who can do some of that.
They have a guy that can do that.
Right.
All right. I got a chance to call Jamie Newman the bowl game against Memphis. He's a really good player. He's a good player. Now, you made the point, is he the second best quarterback in the SEC, or where you rank him? If you look at the SEC right now, I probably put him third because we've seen what Bo Nix can do at Auburn. We saw what Matt can do a little bit at Alabama. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Ole Miss quarterback is really good.
Well, Kyle Trask is
a pretty good quarterback. So, I mean, he's 3-4 somewhere in there right now without me seeing him play with these new athletes.
Right.
But he has some athletes up there. He has some really good wide receivers.
Oh, we talked about
way.
Sage Surratt. He was one of the best offensive players in the ACC.
Yeah,
in
so,
the
I mean, he's had weapons. So, I mean, it'll be interesting. That's why you got a long time. I thought we were going to be good because I feel like we're in the reloading business and not the rebuilding business.
Right.
You plug a guy in. Okay, you lose your star quarterback. Well, you know what? We recruited star quarterbacks, too, supposedly now, these quarterbacks. And they here now, so that's what you plug and play. So that's what I thought.
Let's hear from Roddy Nabalsi, who covers UGA, talking about Todd Monken and what he brings to the table offensively.
Todd Monken, that's a four-birds guy. He likes to spread teams out. He likes to throw the ball, which sets up the run. And and brings in a lot of experience. So that tells me a lot, basically.
And
what's going to happen.
Right, I'm going to go back to something you just said. You said the pass is set up the run. If that's the case, then Kirby is changing his whole philosophy. I mean, do you see that? I don't see something like that happening. And also, when you're talking about these four verts, is that going to fit Jamie Newman, who we presume is going to be the starter? Does that fit his skill set?
It does work really well with Jamie Newman. If you look out, many times he's thrown deep balls, and the accuracy Jamie Newman has on the deep passes, he's got great touch, great accuracy. And this is a guy who, you know, and Todd Monken, who likes to throw that deep ball. He likes to, you know, soften up that defense. And Kirby is going to call the plays that he wants. There's no question about it. You know, Monken can come in here with all these ideas, but Kirby's offense is going to be Kirby's offense.
Right.
But I think he's willing to make a change because he says, look, we can go ground and pound with these huge offensive linemen and, you know, great tailbacks. But at some point, you know, teams are stacking the box and they're taking that away from us. We have to have a more balanced game. And, you know, I remember in Kirby's first press conference, we kind of asked him, what is your offensive philosophy? You're a defensive guy. You know, are you going to be pro style? Are you going to be spread? And he said, look, we're going to be multiple. We are going to be well-balanced run pass. 2 years later, he's running the ball 69% of the time, and it works when you have Nick Chubb and Sony Michel. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work when you don't have those two you know, all-pro guys. So I think he's willing to change things up a little bit. And, you know, Monken is the guy that would do that with a Jamie Newman, you know, and teams, you know, trying to cover the – he does all those great depth things, you know. It's like, hey, we got a guy at 5 yards, we got a guy at 15, we got a guy at 30. And while you're trying to cover them all, I'm going to tuck and run, and good luck trying to catch me. So you got to like what Georgia's – what the potential for Georgia's offense is going forward.
You think that Georgia would have swapped offensive coordinators if Jake Fromm had said, I'm coming back?
That was a great question. And Bunk asked that question yesterday. And it, who knows? I think they would have changed offense. I don't know, you know, because just because you're in this offense doesn't mean you got to be that zone read running sure. type quarterback. You know what I'm saying? But you got to be able to be accurate, throw the ball down. Because that's, I think that's the big takeaway that a lot of people are presuming with Mocha Ben, it's going to be more shots downfield. It's going to be – you can take the shots all day downfield. Can you complete them? I mean, right. That's the thing about it.
Well, you know, against LSU, Georgia took some shots downfield. Yeah, they just didn't complete them. I mean, Jake had some bad throws. His wide receivers didn't help him out.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's taking shots is one thing.
Completing them.
In college, you got to make a few of those plays. So, you know
exactly.
What I mean? I mean, so, I don't know. I think it is interesting because – You're bringing in a guy that if you'd have Jake Fromm, wouldn't play to Jake Fromm's skill set.
No.
I mean, honestly, I mean, that's not what Monken does is play to that kind of skill set. And that's why I wonder maybe they would have made a change, but would it have been this guy?
Would have been him. But the thing about it is if you're preparing for the future of your program and we had Shaka on and he was basically saying, Kirby has tried to recruit these right. These dual threat tight guys. Hell, he went and got Justin Fields. They just didn't know how to damn use them.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, he has recruited these guys. I said, you were talking out there. I was like, okay, you got this, you know, you got this guy, Jamie Newman, that's in there now at the quarterback position. What are you going to get after he leaves? Are you going to stand pat what's on your roster? Because you got a guy in DeJuan Mathis who's similar to his skill set other than Carson Beck. Beck is what Jake Fromm is, the pocket passer.
I wonder if they don't maybe just redshirt DeJuan Mathis because they don't even know when he's going to. He's progressed.
He's progressed.
But, Randy, he's not even clear to take hits or anything.
I know,
like
but they say that he's done it. He does a great job on the scout team, but they don't hit you on the scout team.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And listen, when you have that kind of injury – Take a year, man. I'll just do what you got to do.
100% agree.
Let's hear from Mark Schlabach, who I had a chance to talk with the other night, and his comments about where Jamie Newman is.
I think Jamie Newman will be the guy. I think it's why he's coming to Georgia. You know, he's a guy that's very highly regarded. And once they figured out Jake Fromm was leaving, I think they set their sights on Jamie Newman. I think, you know, he's a different type of quarterback than Jake Fromm. I don't think he's as accurate as Jake was the first 2 years, but he's got a big arm. You know, he brings a different dimension with his mobility, his ability to scramble. You know, PFF, Pro Football Focus guys, I have a lot of respect for, to put in a lot of work. Actually have him ranked as the number 3 quarterback next year behind Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields at Ohio State. And I saw a mock draft for next year today that had him in the first round. So people think a lot of his talent and his potential, and they got to figure out a way to utilize it.
ESPN.com columnist Mark Schlabach joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Mark, put him in the pecking order of quarterbacks in the SEC, kind of where you see him right now across the conference.
You know, I think he'd be one of the top 2 or 3. You know, I think Kyle Trask at Florida We'll make some strides, but certainly with Joe Burrow moving on from LSU, you know, I think Newman, I think Kyle Trask, you know, Kellen Mond has to do a better job of protecting the football. And that's the one thing Jamie Newman, frankly, has to do a better job of is taking better care of the football, because he had 11 interceptions at Wake Forest last year, I think from through three last year. So I think that's going to be one of the things that they focus on in the spring.
You know, it is interesting because there's a lot of pressure being put on Jamie Newman that, you know, can he take this team to the playoffs? I mean, that they're okay. We're not expecting a step down in quarterback play next year.
And I'm going to go on a limb and say that he knew that when he decided he wanted to go to Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came to Georgia because he thinks that he can get Georgia right there, because Georgia has the talent everywhere else to get there. It's about him. I mean, it's basically what does he do, and what does Mo can do with, and what does Kirby allow him to do with his offense?
Right.
That's the interesting. It ain't got nothing to do with talent at Georgia. Nothing. I know we lost a lot of guys on the O-line. I get it. And then we got no more recruit class, right?
Yeah, that's what they told me. That's what they do every year.
Yeah, that's what they told me.
I mean, if you want to be Alabama and Clemson and Ohio State, guess what they do? They lose guys every year.
And just
throw guys right back in there.
Every year.
I mean, how many linebackers can Alabama lose over the course of about a 7-year period that were all first-team All-American, and the next guy just falls right back in line?
Yeah. I mean, the O-line is different, but, you know, we got a lot of cats that played. I think that's the one thing that Kirby, it gets on my nerves, but at the same time, it's good for times like this. He plays so many guys. So many kids play, you know, in some form or fashion up there at Georgia. So, I mean, some of these guys, they got experience. But, yeah, talent-wise, we're just talented as anybody. But it's about that main position and the guy who's going to be relaying stuff to him.
I also, very quickly as we get to break as well, I think I'm going to be curious to see if Georgia Tech, by the way, goes in the transfer portal, does some things as well at quarterback, and what they do.
I'm with you right there, because I'm like, who's going to be the quarterback? Are they going to let Graham be the guy next year? They went and got the kid out of Jacksonville, Jeff Sims. I mean, what do they do with that quarterback? Because now it's time to start forming this offense.
Right,
if you're
right.
Jeff
and
Collins.
Start putting your team together.
And start putting your team together, yep. Exactly.
All right, when we get back, normally I do buy or sell, but because we got a man short, Brian will be coming in here to ask us our final buy or sell edition of the year. Yeah, how about that, huh?
All right.
Guest questionnaire. Bears coming in to do buy or sell. It's all next at College Football Game Time. Sports Radio 910 The Game.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.